From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC here in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The Brooklyn-based Pathos Trio has, to paraphrase Liam Neeson, a very specific set of skills. The group consists of a keyboardist and two percussionists, all of whom are equally capable of playing acoustic chamber music or darker-hued, electronically altered sounds. And I don't think I'm giving anything away when I say that they tend to skew more towards the latter. The trio's new album is called Polarity, and it's a collection of works specifically written for the Pathos Trio. They're going to play some of them for us today, beginning with a work by Ian Chang, who is a member of the band Sun Lux. His work is called Mega Cicada. Thank you. Well, you just knew that piece was going to have to end up stopping on a dime, and indeed it does. Mega Cicada, written by Ian Chang for the Pathos Trio. They just played it live here in the studio. Let me introduce you to the members of the trio. Will Healy, seated behind our piano, but what was the other keyboard you were playing there, Will?
Yeah, I was just playing a MIDI controller that was commanding some sounds through a DAW that Ian had pre-programmed.
A digital audio workstation,
yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. A DAW. And the percussionists include Marcelina Sohotska, who has just left the vibraphone and moved behind a drum kit, and Felix Reyes, who is already behind. There are more drums in the studio today than I've ever seen. I mean, our own kit is still here, sitting unused in a corner. Felix, this piece is notated, right?
Yeah, it's all notated. Ideally, and this is something I've kind of been trying to troubleshoot, is eventually, because I'm still in the Stone Ages, getting an iPad with a pedal so I don't have this big piece of, you know.
A music stand with paper on it, yes. Very old school of you.
Yeah.
So, Will, tell us a little bit about Mega Cicada, this piece by Ian Chang.
So, Ian told us that the original concept of the piece comes from taking time in a vocal phrase. So if you have a melody like the one that I played, which goes, a singer might take a little bit of time before the second beat. They might delay. They might rush a little bit. So he wanted to play around with that idea, starting with that kind of rubato phrase that I play actually on the synthesizer.
Right.
And then having the other instruments, the percussion, come in on a grid around that so you can hear where it actually falls.
So the rubato, the robbed time, literally what that word means, becomes really apparent where it's being robbed from.
Exactly.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. I love the title Mega Cicada because there are moments, especially at the beginning of the piece, where it just sounds like the chittering of a huge metal bug.
Yeah.
Which I assume that's why he gave it the title.
I believe that the idea for the title comes from the beats that are created when you're creating a synthesizer sound. He was playing around with different sounds and then hearing how different notes would land together. So if you have, you know, one note, there's a certain vibration. If you have two notes, you start to hear little beats in the sound. And Ian said that he was thinking about those in the same way that maybe insects would communicate with beats in their wings.
Wow. Okay. The record the brand new record is called Polarity, which comes out on Friday, the 15th of September. But your previous project as a trio was called When Dark Sounds Collide, which is a very telling title. Are you as a group just drawn to the darker, huge sorts of sounds?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was kind of the whole inception idea of the trio. And funny enough, originally the trio was actually a duo between myself and Marcelina. This was back in late fall 2017 that was around the time we actually met. I met her when she was still finishing her master's at MSM. And that was around the time where I moved into Brooklyn, and I was kind of trying to find some other percussionists that have similar interests in music and background than I did. She came across my radar. I reached out to her. We started jamming and then formed a duo. And then originally after that, we were trying to look for composers, which is where Alan, our original pianist, came into play. And he was writing a duo piece for us, but the piece morphed and he had ideas to incorporate piano into that. And that's how the trio formed. But the idea of the group is essentially where we all came from very strong classical contemporary backgrounds, but we all had also an overlap in interest of non-classical music when it came to like darker, heavier sounds from like electronic music, synthwave music, like progressive metal, alternative rock, and things like that.
Right. So, you know, usually when you see an unusually constructed chamber ensemble, it's there because there are pieces that have been written for it. So, you know, you think of like Yarn Wire, which is two pianos, two percussionists. Well, Béla Bartók wrote famously a piece for that combination back in the, I guess, 30s. But one piano, two percussion. Was there any pre-existing music for this combination.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And we, yeah.
So we're kind of proud of the fact that, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why didn't you just add one more pianist? But, I mean, in a way, we've created this whole slew of repertoire because we've commissioned now how many composers? Over like a dozen composers. So we've literally created a whole repertoire for this setup. So we're pretty proud of that.
The electronic sound, the electronic aspect, it seems to be that this is not purely an acoustic trio from day one, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we collaborate with these composers, we leave it up to them. I mean, some of our pieces are purely acoustic, which we think is nice, especially for one concert. As you can imagine, if every single piece had different kinds of electronics, the stage might just catch on fire. You know? So it's nice to have these like elements. And we use electronics in different ways, whether it's just a backing track, which we'll hear in the next piece, or also the keyboards, of course, that Will plays, and even the electronic triggers that Felix has on a drum pad. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to kind of push the envelope on what's possible.
Right. And in the Ian Chang piece that you just played, the very opening sounds were triggered, Felix, by you from behind the drum kit, right?
Yeah, through my Roland sample pad. So.
Right. So, Marcelina, tell us about the next piece that we're going to hear, because after setting this up as kind of a darker hued project, this piece to me has more of a kind of lyrical minimalist aesthetic to it.
Absolutely. So the next piece you're about to hear is by my good friend Clara Warnar. We went to school together at the Manhattan School of Music. And so this piece was inspired by the unsettling feeling that she got when she was texting that she was going to be home. And then the autocorrect corrected it to gone. So it was kind of interesting, you know, very different meanings behind those words. And so similarly, this piece starts off with home. So kind of a very minimalistic, nice melody. Mm-hmm. And then gradually that is getting taken away and we're pulled out of that. So there's like a deconstruction in the second part that is gone. So we hope you enjoy it.
All right, let's hear a live performance, the Pathos Trio here in the studio, and another work written for them, this one by Clara Warnar. It's called Home Gone. Thank you. That music was written by Clara Warnar. It's called Home Gone, and it was written for the Pathos Trio. They have just played it live for us here in the studio with Marcelina Sohotska behind the vibraphone, Felix Reyes behind the drum kit, Will Healy behind the piano. And Marcelina, it's a really interesting work. It occurs to me that when you ask composers to write for percussion, there are things that if you're not a percussionist, you wouldn't, they kind of wouldn't occur, like mallets. There are any number of mallets you could use to play the vibraphone. And there are various points in this piece where you use the quote-unquote wrong end of the mallet to play the vibraphone. So how do those sorts of decisions get made? Do you sit down with the composer and say, these are the options? How does that work?
Absolutely. Of course, the composition process varies with every composer, but Clara Warnar, she was really collaborative with this and attended many rehearsals and even performances, and this piece really has grown and taken shape over time as we've gotten, first of all, for me, more comfortable improvising. I'm not, you know, Branford Marsalis by any means, with, you know, the vibraphone. But as we got more comfortable with it, we realized what worked, what didn't. And, you know, Clara's background is, of course, percussionist. She's the percussionist for ICE.
Oh, okay. So
she knows all that stuff. Ensemble.
Okay.
And many other groups, like Infinity Shred. But because of her background, of course, you know, she came prepared with lots of ideas. It definitely helps if a composer, of course, plays percussion to help write for it. But, I mean, we've also collaborated with composers who didn't necessarily write for percussion before, and you know, really had actually well-formed opinions about, you know, how certain sounds should go.
There's a track on the record on Polarity by Andrew Rodriguez called Pity. Which has an almost kind of EDM, you know, a kind of a electronic dance, or a Kosmische, you know, krautrock kind of feel. So, I mean, is Andrew a percussionist?
No, I think I'm pretty sure he's a guitarist. But that was definitely very much the idea, yeah, when he wrote Pity. It was, you know, very heavy, like electronic, forward pulsing EDM style.
Almost like a video game. It kind of sounds like you're about to, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Kick some butt on
blast an alien out of his spaceship or something.
So, totally.
Yeah, I think some of these pieces really toe the line between being like sort of classical pieces that are fully notated and just being very specific non-classical pieces that aren't really that associated with the classical tradition. And that's one of those pieces where I don't necessarily think of it as a classical piece.
So not scored, not fully notated, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a backing track.
Yeah, right.
That's a pre-recorded drum track, as there was with Clara's. A lot of the music that you just heard was something that we had pre-recorded at our residency last year.
Right.
So it was our own playing that had then been affected, you know, by Clara.
So there's another piece on the record. Is it Paul Mortilla? How does he say his name?
Mortilla.
Mm-hmm.
His piece, 21600, however you say that,
yeah.
almost sounds, Will, like you are improvising at the. Jazzy moments
totally.
In that piece.
Yeah, there's really jazzy, but it's the kind of written out improvisation that's really specific. And even though that piece sounds like the most improvisatory of all the pieces, in terms of my part, it's the most difficult and the most specifically notated.
Wow.
So I had to learn all of those 30-second notes.
So you had to learn this written stuff to be able to make it sound as if you're making it up on the fly.
Yeah, and a lot of it's split between the acoustic piano and the synthesizer, with both happening at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really curious, Felix, to hear about the Phong Tran piece that you're going to do next called Split. I have seen him perform his solo shows, and they're just, I mean, Marceline was talking about the video games sound.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like a kid with a controller, you know, like the music just, it turns on a dime. There are abrupt switches of rhythm and meter and sonic quality. So what has he given you with this piece?
I mean, a lot of what he described is definitely in this piece for sure. I think he definitely takes a lot of influence from his solo album. I think it's Computer Room that sort of recently. Big influence from his solo electronic compositions that are heavily influenced through like game music, synthwave, and obviously through his influence with his duo, Media Queer with Darian Donovan Thomas. And the first sketches he put together when he sent it to me, he was like, hey, like, you know, I've been having this crazy idea with you guys playing like battling drum sets with like synthesizer in the forefront, kind of holding down chords. And yeah, and they're like double kick in the piece, and the whole idea really revolves around kind of what you were mentioning before, like very, very specific hocketing of rhythms that is very tight knit. And so, yeah, it's been a really fun piece to put together.
When you say hocketing, for you know, just a brief explainer, so that means that you and Marcelina will not be playing one rhythm by yourselves, but passing it.
Yeah,
back
there's
and forth
a lot of
between,
communication yeah. back and
it's
forth.
It's kind of like do 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 do.
Right.
Ends up making a cool rhythm, ideally.
Right. Okay. And Will has escaped from behind the piano and is out in front with a little synthesizer. So it looks like everything's going to plan. Let's hear this live performance of Split by Phong Tran, played in our studio by the Pathos Trio. Well, I hope you were listening to that on headphones. And if not, go back and listen to it again, because it is really cool to hear how Phong Tran splits up those tricky rhythms between the two drummers, Felix in the right channel and Marcelina in the left, and Will in the middle with the synthesizer. The piece called Split, written for the Pathos Trio by Phong Tran and played live by them here in the studio. Marcelina and Felix, you can't just be listening. I mean, the headspace for that must be really weird, where, Marcelina, you have to be making sure that your drum notes are inserted between Felix's, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, it is definitely tricky, but if you have like a good sense of kind of internal time and groove, really it's less about fitting in and more about being on the same wavelength in terms of the time and the groove. Because if you try to fit it in, chances are actually it's going to be more challenging to do that than just to go for it.
Right, right. So with a lot of hocketing music, it's like if you're counting, you're going to screw up at some point. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of feel it, I guess.
It's exactly right. It's like my first drum teacher, he said, Marcelina, it's just a feel. It's a feel thing.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, when Balkan bands come in here and they do those crazy sevens and nines, and that's what they say. It's just, you just got to feel it, you know? Felix, you've done a couple of calls for scores as a trio with New Music USA. Mm-hmm. How specific are you when you do a call for scores, which basically means send us pieces and we're going to pick one, or send us proposals and we're going to pick one and you're going to write for us? How specific are you with like the setup that this trio offers?
Yeah, I mean, so far we've only done two call for scores, one back in 2021. And when we did our first call for scores, it was kind of more broad in the sense that writing a two percussion piano trio, we wanted to keep that open when we did the first call. And then whoever we ended up picking, then we went back and forth and collaborated with them. But then this time around, for this upcoming season, we decided to be a little bit more specific, because we kind of learned from our first batch of commissions from our first album. As amazing as all that music is, one of the things we realized in the process of putting together all those pieces is, well, if you give composers that freedom, they're going to be in the candy store and like pick everything. So all those pieces ended up having completely different setups, and then we had to reevaluate and be, okay, well, we got to be more thoughtful of like giving a specific, more specific targeted instrumentation. And in this call for scores, we wanted to have a good balance of acoustic and electronic, and have some sort of electronic element to the pieces, because I think that's kind of been more of the trajectory that we've been going in with, like the that fine line blending of acoustic and electronic sounds.
Yeah. Well, when we're done here in a moment, I'm coming over there because I want to see what you and Marcelina are. You have these huge, I guess it's the notation, but it's like these enormous cardboard things. I can barely see the two of you. I need to see what Phong Tran's score looks like.
Yeah.
Especially having heard that piece. So what happens next? I mean, album comes out on Friday the 15th called Polarity, and then is there another round of commissions? How does that work?
Yeah, we're getting ready to start thinking about our next set of composers who will commission for the next season already. Usually around the beginning of November is when we put out our call for scores. So we're going to get ready for that. And later, actually in November, we haven't decided the date yet, but it'll be sometime on the weekend of November 10th to the 12th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to be celebrating our 5-year anniversary as a group.
We've done a series of music videos. So there's going to be a music video for each one of these pieces coming out after the album.
Nice.
They're super cool, I gotta say. If you think we're cool, just like live, you should see these videos. We're really proud of them. These videos are kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
So we're really excited to release them. And we have some live performances coming up. But yeah, I mean, if you want to find out more about our performances, obviously the best place to look at is our Instagram and our website, Pathos Trio. Please check us out.
And speaking of videos, Eric Weber, our video editor, has been shooting videos of an enormously crowded half of the studio where the Pathos Trio are ensconced behind their instruments and these enormous scores. And it's been really just a lot of fun watching and listening as the three of you have played through these pieces. Congratulations on the record, Polarity, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And the rest of our crew consists of our technical director, Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see our videos at the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here on the website at newsounds.org.